Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your presence. You never fail. You're always with us. You're here in our worship. Lord, we just ask that you would just give us what we need today to continue to move forward in you, to hear what you have for us, hear it from your throne, hear it from you, Father, and that we'd set aside hindrances, things that would distract, things that would just keep us from really understanding application for our own life. Amen. Amen. We're going to have, this week I had, it's Father's Day. I guess I want to start with that because I've been kind of all over the place. I know this verse, the Lord's just been pounded in into me the last couple weeks. It is found in Luke 2:49. This is the verse where it says, where it talks about Jesus. He was 12 years old. They went for Passover. He stayed in the temple. Mom and dad were heading back home, realized he was missing, come back, find him in the temple. And when they basically say to him, "What in the world were you doing, Jesus? We missed you. We were worried." Jesus says to them, "Well, I was about my Father's business." And that phrase, "Father's business," has been just hanging with me this morning. I do want to acknowledge on Father's Day, I want to acknowledge our spiritual fathers. I want to acknowledge our biological fathers, fathers that have been fathers for a long time, fathers that are new fathers, first time through. We got one of those in the house, praise the Lord. Fathers that are in waiting, because biologically, I know that as women, that we carry our children even before we conceive, even as young as Esme. She already has her. I would say, if I was going to be the nurse, I would say she has her ovum, she has her eggs with her. God put them in her when she was born, and so they're waiting. The Lord talks to us about bringing the invisible to the visible. And so I know that our young women with our men who are married or not yet married and are looking forward to fatherhood, I know that that's in there. I know that that's a part for them. It is God's plan. And so I want to honor them. There is a verse, I got to find it here. I think it's 2 Samuel. And this is just not with the sermon, but I want you to hear this because I think this verse brings honor to all of the men in our life who are God-fearing, walking out what God has for them. Let me see. I got to figure out where it is. It is, I think it's 1 Samuel. And I think it's chapter 9. 6? It's 9:6, yeah. Yeah. 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. "Behold, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith comes surely to pass. Now, let's go thither. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go." That's 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. It's what God intended. He intended for our men to lead the way. Intended them to be honorable men. So I just want to acknowledge them. Oh, I'm going to leave this up here. We're going to be we're actually going to spend some time in John, but I want to talk about this verse in Luke 2:49 first. The word that father's business just struck me. And so I thought, because I've been all over the place this morning, and so I don't know if we're teaching, if we're preaching. We're going to start off with some sharing, and I would like you to give some feedback what your concept is when it says, I'm about my father's business. What does that mean to you? What does that look like? When you read that yourself, what automatically comes to your mind? Healing miracles. Who said that? Elizabeth? Okay. Some. Speak loud so everybody can hear, Andrea. Anybody else? Submissive and willing. Okay. Good. Okay. Lori, you were going to say something? So first thing I do, and you guys know this, first thing I do when something strikes me like that is I'm going to dig out the Strong's, and I want to see what the Greek says or the Hebrew, whatever, if it's Old Testament or New Testament. So whips out the Strong's, and this is very odd. So when I go to look up that word, you know, usually in the Strong's, you've got the number for the Greek. And I would have anticipated that in my Strong's, it would have had a number next to father, directing me to the definition for father, and it would have had a number next to business, and it would have directed me to the word business. In this particular text, it does a phrase, because sometimes the Greek does not, translated into the English, does not do justice to what Jesus or the Bible is trying to share to us, to get across to us. And so when I looked it up in the Strong's, it was a phrase, my father's business. It wasn't separated into words, father, business. It was my father's business. And they gave me a number for that word, for that phrase, not for the word, which is pretty interesting. And so what that was, and it says, this was the definition, so, because I literally had to go to the, because when it gave me the phrase, it only gave me the definition for the word father. Even though it was at the end of the phrase, so you think it's going to be about the whole phrase, it wasn't. It was only the definition for the word father. So I was kind of left hanging. Like, what are they trying to tell me? Is this what I think it is, or is this more to it than what that they just can't quite say. And so then I went to several concordances and I started just kind of going through trying to get an idea. This is the best that I came up with, okay? One who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates, and that means operates. So who operates and governs their minds. So at the age of 12, when Jesus is telling his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, that I am about my father's business, what he's literally trying to tell them is God the Father has infused me. Now, you know when you infuse something, you take on its aroma. You take on I'll just leave it at aroma, okay? And so it's kind of like when you walk into a room and you have got like cinnamon somewhere, whether it's a candle or you're cooking or something, there's cinnamon everywhere. It's kind of infused throughout the room, and you know it's cinnamon. So he says, my heavenly Father has infused his spirit into me, and he's operating, and he's governing my mind. That's much more than just doing his business, because if we think about just doing his business in daily like to the best of our understanding, you know, at my work, it never works, but they're always trying to say, oh, they talk the talk, life work balance, put your 40 hours in and call it a day. Well, that never happens. But, I mean, I still get, despite that, even though I don't get that, you know, I'm working more than that 40 hours. I am still stepping away from work. I'm turning off the computer at some point and stepping away from it. And it is not in my preview anymore. It is not here in front of me. I'm not focused on it. At some point, we are focused on other things. This word is much more consuming. This is a 24/7. If you're infused, you have that odor that you're carrying. Most of you had heard the story of us when the boys were little and we were in the UP, and long story short, there was a skunk on our porch and it sprayed. And I mean, it sprayed so much that the whole porch was wet. We were infused with that skunk smell. That skunk smell we could not get away from. A month or so later, we had donuts in the freezer. We got the donuts out. We took them to church for Sunday morning. And one of the little kids like, what are these, skunk nuts? I mean, we didn't say a word. They were infused. It was a total, what going on here, a total absorption of that smell. It took months and months. And so when we're talking about this phrase about Jesus is saying, I must be about my Father's business, it really started to strike me about what that business is and are we really doing it? Operating and governing, that means we're letting the Holy Father operate and govern our minds. And we know that our minds drive everything. They drive everything. You don't do anything. You don't do anything purposeful. You don't do anything instinctual. You don't do anything without the Father's direction. Think about what that looks like. Just think about what that looks like. I'm not a big deep thinker. I'm not like apostle, because when I hear him preach sometimes, I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh, where does he come up with this stuff? This isn't this kind of a thing today. This is a thing to get you thinking about your Father. And it's not that your heavenly, your earthly father isn't important, because they're very crucially important. But it is about our heavenly fathers and really making sure that we are about his business. His business. That we're letting him govern and operate our mind. And that is driving decisions that we make. That's driving the actions that we take. You know, there's a story, and I love this story. It's in John chapter 5. And if you have time this week, I'd encourage you to read through it. Because it's this story about Jesus. Now, Jesus is out, and many, many times in Scripture, and I can give you the verses if you need to see them. Many, many times in Scripture, Jesus is telling people, I don't do anything without the Father telling me. I don't say anything without the Father telling me. How would that go in your workplace? How would that go in your family if you never opened your mouth to say anything unless the Lord told you to? Because if we believe that the word is true, and then we have to accept the word in its totality, which means that when Jesus says, I don't speak unless the Father tells me to, he's even talking about idle chatter. Idle chatter. He doesn't say anything unless the Father tells him to. How does life change from your perspective, from where you sit in the chair that you're in your workplace, in your family, in the community? How does life change if we don't say anything unless the Father tells us? Because that's truly, truly what's going on. And so here we are. We are in chapter 5 of John. And there's the pool, you know, the healing pool. And when the waters moved, whoever got into the pool first is the one that got healed. And Jesus comes along, and there's this guy, and he has been in this position, I think it says, for 39 years. He has been affirmed, have this affirmity for 39 years. Now, Apostle and I have been married for 39 years. I'm thinking that's a heck of a long time, okay? Careful. 39 years. And he's sitting here at this pool, and he can't get into it. So they all sit around. The water moves. Whoever gets in the water first, they're healed. And Jesus comes along and says to this guy, so what's the problem? And he's like, I got nobody to get me in the pool. I got nobody to get me in the pool. And so Jesus says, well, get up and walk. Take your mat. Who needs a pool? Just get up and walk. Just take your bed. And, of course, the leaders of the time, you know, Sadducees, Pharisees, all those guys, they weren't happy at all with this, because this happened on a Sunday. You know, God forbid that you do something good on Sunday, on their Sabbath day. You know, and Jesus basically, they start to plot, and Jesus responds to these guys in verse 17, and he said, Jesus answered him, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father works, so I work. It's the same thing again. He says it a little differently, but it's still the same thing. When the Father works, I work. It's that simple. How many of you on Sunday morning, because we've been having great services over the last couple weeks, right? I mean, we always have good services, but over the last several weeks, God has really been showing up in the house. Last week was one of those experiences, you know. I'm in junior church, and he's done preaching in 18 minutes, and I'm just like, what in the heck is going on? Something's going on upstairs. I mean, the girls came down, told me I needed to come upstairs. God was moving in the house. How many of you, honest now, expect God to be working when you come in the door on Sunday morning? Two? Like, that's it? That should be like, I do. Anybody? I'm going to ask again. Who expects God to be moving when you come in on Sunday morning? Absolutely. I mean, if you didn't expect something to happen, if you weren't expecting God to show up on your behalf, then what are you coming for? Right? There's something that draws you. But if you're expecting, according to this verse, if Jesus is the first of the brethren and we are supposed to follow his example, then when we come into the house on Sunday morning, we should be expecting to work too. How many times do you hear apostles say, come in the house ready, not just to receive, but to give? Here's your verse. My Father's working, so I'm working. There's an amen from Joel way in the back. Way in the back. Can't hardly hear him. But this is why we push this, is because if we're going to have, if he's truly, and this is your sign, this is a place for self-analysis. If the Holy Spirit is truly, you know, speaking for the Father, and he is operating and whispering into your mind what you're supposed to do, then when the Father's working, you should be working. I would expect that there should never be a week that goes by that you don't have a testimony. Isn't that a normal outcome? Isn't that a normal expectation? A plus B equals C? So what does that look like? Because I know, I mean, and we've had these conversations, and Charlie had a good word a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about pushing our relationship and understand that this is about relationship. But this is part of what builds relationship. Absolutely. Because you will hear us talk about gifts and signs and wonders and healings and all of that. Jesus's work that he was doing through his Father, you know this, a third of it was teaching. Help me out. A third of it was healings. A third of it was deliverance. It's about how it breaks down if you go to the gospel. And so there's balances in these things. And so I wanted to just share with you a few things just for information pieces, okay? Just information. Like I said, this isn't a deep wisdom sermon. This is about reminding us what we're supposed to be about. And having you take a look at what's going on and what my life looks like and what it looks like, particularly related to the house, okay? So do you know that in Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, so Nehemiah comes in and he has to build, you know, his mission, his business primarily was to build this wall around Jerusalem because the people in Jerusalem were scattered all across the countryside. And they had no safe place, and their city was not defended. This is, remember, when the Babylonians had come in and taken capture and tore everything down. Well, Nehemiah is sent back, and his business is to build the wall. But after the wall is finished, they set up specific people and specific groups to oversee things in the city and things for the house. Did you know that there were a group of people who were specifically, and it says over the business. If you look in Nehemiah chapter 11, it uses the word business. It uses it a couple times. There is a group that is supposed to deal with the outward business. And we're talking about the temple. So there were people that were specifically supposed to take care of everything that happened outside of the temple. Within the walls, but outside the temple. There were people that were supposed to take care of the inside of the temple. Do you know that one of the group specifically, and I'm Joel, if you're still out there, stick your head through. You're going to like this one. The singers. It talks about the singers were rulers of the house of God. That's what he's doing. He's giving. So worship team, it says, you can look it up. The singers were over the house, on the inside of the house. See, everybody had their own little mission. They had their business. But when it all came together, it created a complete package. And they worked according to what the Lord told them to do. They didn't do anything in the house without the directions. You can read that all the way back to Exodus. They did nothing in the house. Jesus was concerned about the inward workings of the temple. We see him to the point where he has to clear out the place because it's not functioning. You have made my Father's house a den of thieves. So he's taking care of his Father's business, and he's setting the house in order. What is your role within the house? We have had a tremendous group of people working at the new building. It's amazing. Because we have these two things that are going on simultaneously. We have things that we need to know what our role is and what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I somebody who's working outside? Am I working somebody who's working inside? Am I somebody who's a teacher? Am I somebody who's a singer? Am I somebody who does visitation? What is my business? And then we have this other part where we step up like they did to put the wall together for Jerusalem, where everybody worked together at the same task. They were about their Father's business because that's what the Lord had dropped into Nehemiah to do. We can't accomplish what we're going to accomplish, what the Lord intends for us to do, if you do not understand what your Father's business looks like. And if you are not operating in that and letting him control your mind and direct you, or i.e. speak to you, and you hear him and you step into that and function, it's just not going to happen. There's nowhere in Scripture where the Lord honors lazy people. He doesn't. Now, the beautiful thing is we can also find stories that Jesus, and one of them, you know, is the parable where they all come in to work and the master of the field, he says, I'm going to give you a penny if you work a day. And then people come then at the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and all the way through. And still at the end of the day, everybody gets a penny, even those that just worked at the very end. To me, it's talking about as much about how long, you know, whether it's not so much just about the person on their deathbed who accepts Christ, but it's getting into heaven. But it's also about those of us that look at our business and we think that it's insequential, that it doesn't matter because it's just, I'm not doing much. Because that parable would speak against that too. Your business is what you're judged by. You know that. We talk about it, but we have to do some things. We have to let the Spirit come in and operate in us. We have to know what He's telling us. We have to know what He's called me to be in the house. And then we have to be willing to work at it. And it does say work. My Father works, so I work. This is not easy work, this stuff. Coming in on Sunday morning, I tell people many times when I'm talking to them during the week, and whether I'm doing counseling or we're doing mentoring or doing something like that, and they're and I'm like, you've got to come into the house on Sunday morning. You've got to be willing and ready to hear what God says and do it. My Father works, so I work. I am about my Father's business. Jesus literally mentions, puts the words my Father together just in the Gospels over 55 times. Over 55 times. He stresses it and stresses it and stresses it. My Father, He sent me to do this. My Father, He tells me this. My Father, my Father, my Father. I always look at Elias, and he is such a good, he's just such a good example of this, because that kid, wherever Joel's at, whatever Joel's doing, he wants to be doing it. Titus, just give him a book. He'll go sit in the corner. He's happy. He don't care who's around. Not Walrus, not Elias. I.e., we're a couple weeks ago, all of us, you know, were there, we're working on the roof. 4 years old, he has to get up on the roof, scaring the tar out of his grandma, because he's 4 years old. He's got a shirt tails tool. He's scraping shingles. Why? Because his father's doing it. We have an ability to have that type of an influence on those around us. The Father wants to have that influence on us, and then we have the ability to have that influence on others. So my question is, very simple today, is really truly to take a look at your Father's business. Are you doing it? Do you know what it is? I mean, even with James and John, do you remember the story when James and John came and they're like, oh, you know, their mother came, and she's like, oh, please let my boys sit on the left and right hand. Whenever you get to your kingdom, please let my boys, James and John, let one sit on the left, one sit on the right. You know what Jesus' response is? That's not my decision. Even in that situation, he is still going back to his Father. It's not, but that, I can't help you. That's not my decision. I don't determine that. See, life gets pretty easy, and it might not, that might seem funny to say it that way, but when you don't have to make the decisions anymore, we can really go back to being more childlike. Children, their parents make all the decisions. They decide when they feed Dawson. They decide where they're going to put him to bed. They decide what he's going to wear. They decide for him. It isn't until children start to get older and we start to have them make their own decisions. And I'm not saying that is bad, because we have to mature. But as Christians, we're supposed to stay in that place where we're childlike, where the Father is always the one telling us what to do. That's part of being childlike. Life gets pretty sweet when I don't have to decide, when I'm going back to the Father And he's saying, I need you to do this today. I need you to do this today. I need you to do this today. And I need you to do this today. Done. Life's good. But we don't do it. We struggle to let him fully operate and govern what's going on. And we have to be about the Father. And when he works, we have to work. It's that simple. This morning, I'm just going to ask you just to do an assessment, to do a self-assessment about, you know, God's been moving in the house. He's been doing some great things. If we're going to really pick the pace up, it's a time to build year. If we're going to get done everything we need to do, we need to be functioning when he tells us and say what he tells us to do. There's a verse in Proverbs. I'm going to give you this verse, and then I'm just going to give you a homework assignment, and we're going to call it a day. This comes out of Proverbs 22:29, and you know it's prego. There's always stuff in here. You can find whatever you need in God's word. See thou a man diligent in his business. So do you see a man diligent in his business? He, that man, shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And the word mean is not like mean, angry, that kind of mean. It literally in the Hebrew means low. So, which to my mind is insignificant. So the Lord, for the man that is about his business, for the man who is doing what his business is, and our business is my Father's business. When my Father works, I work. The Lord is going to elevate you. He's going to bring you before significant people. Kings. It says, for the man who is doing his business, I will bring them before kings. He shall not stand before insignificant men. I tell you, what the world needs is a bunch of us to be standing before kings right now, creating an impact in our world. They want to destroy Christianity. That's the goal. The only way that we stop that, the only way that we even, that we move, that we can have impact in that is if we are about our Father's business. So my challenge to you today, and then we're just going to, I'll just have the worship team come and just do one song and benediction and closing. I'm just going to pick one day this week, just one day. And don't tell me you can't do it, because you can, because the Lord will always answer when we call on him. Jeremiah says, call on me and I will answer. Take one day. Don't care what it is, Monday through Saturday, take one day, commit to testing him. Don't say anything unless the Lord tells you to say it. Don't do anything unless the Lord tells you to do it. This doesn't mean you can't have a back and forth conversation. Lord, got to get up out of bed. What do you want me to do? If Malachi says, test me and try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven, what do you think he'll do if we test and try him on this? Because this is what he really wants. He wants us to be Christ-like. He wants to see his son in us, and his son did nothing. without the Father. I'm just challenging you. If you don't think you can do it for a day, set a time frame, half a day, but don't go less than a half a day. I'd tell you to do 24 hours. You don't talk, you don't act without asking the Father and Him talking to you. And then you come back with a testimony about what God did and what happened in this next week. Sounds kind of extreme, but it's not really. It's what Jesus did. It's not impossible. He never asks us to do something that is not that's impossible. Never asks us to do something impossible. Because all things are possible with Him. I need to be about my Father's business. If I'm going to accomplish. So that's where we start. Because as we start and He starts pouring in and He starts speaking to us more, we start responding more readily to Him. Our specific business that we will focus on more of the time than less, whether it's being a singer in the house, whether it's a server, whether it's teaching, visiting, whatever it is, that becomes empowered. You want to impact on the kingdom? Get about the business of the Father. All day long, we'll celebrate our dads. All day long. All day long. And that's good. We need to celebrate our earthly fathers, and we need to acknowledge who they are in our life and how they have blessed us along the way and what they're doing for us now. But we can't truly be honoring an earthly father and ignoring the business of our heavenly Father. You just do a song first, Joel, to close. Trace,